General Motors on safari. Here is adventure. Excitement. And danger. General Motors and their dealer organization throughout Southern Africa are proud to present another program in their current series, bringing you the African bushveld of today and yesterday in dramatized fact, fiction, and true life documentary. General Motors on safari.
A few weeks ago, I told you a story called The Tonkin Mystery. Now, despite my saying that for the moment the true ending to the tale must remain a mystery, I had countless letters begging me to reveal the secret of Tonkin's strange death. Whilst being flattered that the case stimulated so much interest, I could only repeat that, for the moment anyway, the Tonkin mystery must remain a mystery. It did occur to me, though, to tell another story of Peter Grant, the hunter-turned-farmer, and his Lintomfu tracker, Skellum. Grant had led countless hunting safaris through the Rhodesian bush. When he decided to call it a day, he turned inevitably to farming. I say he had decided to call it a day. It seemed that the decision was not going to be his, though, because wild dogs were always killing sheep, elephants with the whole of Africa as their back garden seemed unable to keep away from the native shambas, and the Europeans' bougainvillea fenced vegetable allotments. No, Grant was in demand. He was never allowed to plough in peace for very long. I have called tonight's story, Lion Fighters Never Grow Old. There had been heavy rains, and the silt was perfect for ploughing. Grant was preparing new lands for planting maize, cotton, and tobacco on Sable Ranch. Before dawn, he'd been out, clearing long, straight furrows through the rich loam soil with a new tractor and disc plough. The soft early morning breeze fanned his sunburnt cheeks. His eyes sparkled with a great happiness, a happiness that only comes from doing work a man loves and doing it well. There were ring doves at the tall blue gum trees, and a covey of partridges dashed for safety as the noisy machine approached the shelter of the bushes where they'd spent the previous night.
Bit of luck by lunchtime. I'll have finished the whole lot below the second dam.
So engrossed in what he was doing, though, Grant hadn't seen the old box-sided shooting brake pull up and a tall, fair-haired woman step out, who, after a quick, darting look over to where Grant and his natives were, began to run in a very undignified manner across the new furrow.
Wana! See, Wana! 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 Let me travel, see! This is the road in me travel, Wana!
No more plowing today, my Bwana. The woman means trouble. See, she comes fat running like a man.
Shut up, Sapato. Get on with your work.
The woman was weeping bitterly. Sapato and the rest of the crew saw Peter Grant take her arm and lead her across the newly plowed ground to the house.
You know this woman, Sapato? The new farm, yes. On the road to Livingston. I know, yes.
Accident, Sapato. Snake bite. After so much rain. Or maybe her husband beat her this morning for spoiling his breakfast.
Shut up, all of you. Get on with your work. There is much clearing to do, and no time to sit on your backside all day. When Buona Peter returns, he will be very angry with all of us. Move yourself, Rover!
A skinny, half-naked old African came from the direction of the compound to join the workmen.
Roberto, why is the noisy thing stuck dead in the ground? And where is my Buona?
The Buona Peter has gone to the house with her women. She's in a hurry and has cried. Phoned us, cook what is in Dava is.
The old man, who was Skellum, with a Tomfu tracker, hurried away in the direction of the house. As he passed the silent tractor, he spat a stream of yellow-brown tobacco juice at one of the big wheels. Skellum hated tractors. There was a time when his Buona would not be seen without a gun in a life fit for a man. But now, tractors. But now, Skellum grinned. He smelt trouble. That was good.
Oh, Mr. Grant, the last stroke. Barney must leave that farm at once. Oh, I shall leave him. That don't go mad.
Okay, Gertie. Please, just tell me exactly what happened. Johnny, where's that coffee?
I wish Barney had never come to the country. I left it here. I really do, Mr. Grant. In the Union, we were somebody. Nice house and lots of friends. Yeah, you old tents. Aching to call. There's nothing anywhere that's dry. You can't keep the snakes and the spiders out of the blossom beds at night.
Look, Mrs. Farigati, will you tell me what... Look, what's especially happened? What's gone wrong? Look, I can't do anything unless I know, can I? About time, Johnny. Where'd you go for the coffee? Jamaica? Have some brandy with this, there. Help you pull yourself together.
You know our farm, Mr. Grant. You've never been there, I know. We met you in Livingston that time. But Farney's often mentioned you and the work you're doing out here.
Farney's a keen farmer, I know. What's troubled you? Where is Farney?
Oh, country's up to maggots. Push and more push. No decent servants, no hearts, no crops up there.
It takes time to get going underway, you know. What's gone wrong, Gertie?
All right for you checkbook farmers. Not so good for us who struggle, though.
Listen, will you tell me what...
Lion? Yes.
At the mention of this word, Skellum, who had been listening outside the door, departed. Within 3 minutes, he'd collected his spares and was installed at the motor vehicle his Buona used for safaris. Lion. Skellum was happy. No more tractoring. Lion.
We could smell them. They were so close. Ring. Right past the tents. We sat round the stove all night. We didn't dare go out. It rained all night, too. The foot was wet, dense, full of smoke. Barney had the rifle. I sat, didn't sleep, with the shotgun over my knees. It seemed to be years before the light came. The lion's gone then. We went down to the kraal to see if the cattle were safe.
Look, I'd like to come over there. All right? What had happened to the cattle? Anything?
Cattle. You come and see what they did to our cattle. We tried for months to buy oxen from the natives, but they only laughed. In the end, we went to the government research station at Mazabuku. We had to wait, but in the end, we bought 2 spans. Mr. Grant, you should see what those lions have done. 7 they've killed, 7. It was so beautiful, our oxen. The others have stampeded. I mean, I don't know whether they're dead or alive. They're just gone.
Did you see anything of the lions? Look, excuse me, I'll just collect a few things.
Torn to pieces, 7 of them. Lion? We saw it? Oh, yes. Yes, it was there, still feeding. Barney shot at it. Barney was always a very bad shot. He hit it in the rump and it got away. I fired at it too, but it was too far away. Barney wanted to go after the lion, said, and there. Oh, there were others, two of them. Must have been the ones who sat all round our tent in the night. There were 6 or 7, and the others just sat and watched the main line feeding. I wouldn't let Father go. I told him, you're not going. We went back to the tents, started the motor, and we drove for young Eustace Cottage. You know, the railway man. He said you were the only one who can help us. They promised to stay at the cottage until you arrived. Please help us.
We'll leave right away. We'll leave your car here, Gaddy. Come with me as far as the hotel. Annie will look after you until we get back with Fanny.
And the party set out for Eustace via the hotel.
Gone, Juan. These men there, they say they begged the white men to stay, to wait for the Juan Peter. These white men, they go, follow the lion.
Blast. How long have they been gone, Scanlon? Did you ask that?
They
both got rifles?
They went after the lion. Now. They both took the rifles. These men over there, they say the white men told them to stay near the cattle, which are dead, and not to follow.
The spoor was fresh. A child could have followed it. Skellum grinned ecstatically. Once more, he had a reason for living. They pushed off into the bush. They traveled fast. Soon, Grant was peering ahead with enormous care. He had fields to finish ploughing. Like the pillion passenger on the back of a motorbike, who often gets himself killed while the driver at fault bruises an elbow, it's often the good hunter, the fine shot, attempting to rescue the novice, who is killed or receives a mauling. While they travelled, Grant pictured the weeping woman in his mind. He wasn't one of those men who subscribed to the belief that Africa's for men and men alone, but weeping women. The bush was the last place. And yet, Gaffy Fourie wasn't the usual kind of farmer's wife. There was something very different about her. Peter Grant realised it with a shock, too. The woman, red eyes and all, was quite simply beautiful. As he followed close behind Skellum, he saw her again. One moment she appeared to sit upon a branch above him, red weeping eyes, looking down at him, imploring him to help her. And then she seemed to be running with him, at his side, panting softly.
That isn't seven. No half. No crops last year. Plus of country. Hated.
Then it seemed she looked sideways at him and smiled. Not the smile of a woman who fears for her husband's life, who hates the country she's forced to live in. Peter Grant saw with horror, through a kind of pink-hued haze, the woman's lips parted slightly, shining with paint. Arms reached towards him. Then the farmer saw everything through the bottom of a blue-eyed glass. The sun was blue. The woman herself was blue. She was now radiant. The rough farming clothes had gone. She wore garments that wouldn't disgrace a Parisian salon. Long, flowing gowns. Her hair bounced and swam deliciously. She floated.
The whole country's up to maggots. The whole country's up to maggots. I hate to tell. When you kill a living
close now, my friend.
Yes. Okay, Scallum. Good, old man. Good. Yeah, been living on my own too ruddy long, that's what it is. Lions. Well, hundreds of the ruddy things somewhere. Don't look at me like that, old man. Close.
And Scallum grinned at the white man, put a bony claw on his arm, and pointed into a thicket ahead.
A few minutes ago, no more I smell him, one. But I also smell the white men we seek. Their smell is too close to the lion smell.
Okay.
Suddenly the bush became very thick. The land dropped down into a gully. The gnarled felt bushes climbing grotesquely down with the fall of the land.
Careful.
Mr. Grant! Mr. Grant! It is Mr. Grant. Mr. Grant, thank heavens you've come.
What are you doing here?
What are you doing? I couldn't go any further. I couldn't run anymore. I've got no breath left. I told Swanee. I told him to leave the line alone till you came, but he wouldn't listen, Mr. Grant. Mr. Grant?
Yes, I'm Grant. Keep your voice down. We're free. Skellum, let's get out of this thick stuff. Now, where's Furry?
I went with him. I was scared. Scared, sis. I'm only a rugby railway ganger man, not a hunter. I mean, I've seen what lions can do to people. Swanee's the worst shot in the world, too. After me, that is.
Come on, get on with it. What happened?
I followed Swanee till we saw the lion. It was wounded. Swanee shot it up the back end, and his woman had to go as well. Well, as soon as we saw it, I wanted to say, Swanee, careful now. One good shot's worth 20 bad ones. But Swanee just fired it and fired, and hit it in the hind legs. And then the thing dumped and growled, and I was sick in the stomach, I can tell you. The lion charged then. Swanee didn't seem to know what to do, and we left it too late, but we both ran in there.
Yes, what then?
Lion got Swanee, left me, knocked Swanee down. I heard him cry out. Well, look, man, I mean railways I know about.
Keep the voice down. How far have you come?
I don't know. Part of the figure over there, half a mile, I don't know. Look, what could I do? I could do nothing. I lost my rifle. Swanee screamed at me to shoot the lion, but I lost my rifle. I just ran all I could do.
You ran away. I hope for your sake you find him alive, you scum.
Skellum by this time had left the little group. He was already a quarter of a mile away, traveling northeast. This was Skellum's way. This was Skellum's lion. He had decided. With a wisdom past understanding, he knew that this sunshining day, he, Skellum, had to kill a lion or allow that his friend and employer, Peter Grant, be killed by a lion. Skellum, having traveled an arc of his circle, cut towards the west. Grant and the railway ganger were now to Skellum's right, south. The little old black man carried two spears and a short, lethal stabbing knife.
The man we seek, he is no hunter. Son, he should have waited. He did not wait for my Bwana. White men. They are bad in the bush, making peril for strangers who came to help them in their trouble.
Skellum came to another donga. He leapt down it, went fast up the other side, and then stopped. By an outcropping of twisted thorn was what the African sought. The lion was not a large one. It was a male and yellow-maned.
Lion, you are about to die. I shall kill you with these spears and these hands.
30 yards. Skellum slowly topped a small rise until he was almost looking down onto the animal. The wind was with him. And then the old man stopped and froze. The lion with the yellow mane was lying beside something, one paw resting across it. It was Furee. From where he stood, Skellum could see blood over Furee's body, but the lion had not started to feed. It was safe to assume that Farney Furee could no longer be alive, though.
I, Skellum, or the Lentonfu, will kill that lion with my own hands. These spears will pierce its heart when I strike. The white man, he said he was frightened. But Skellum, he's not afraid. Skellum, he fears nothing.
The old man stood up. Slowly, painfully, the beast stood up. Both adversaries saw the danger, the possible death. The lion studied intently the unexpected sight of an almost naked black man standing a short distance away, watching him. Skellum slowly advanced. The lion's body, he could see, was blood-clotted, where the bullets had torn through the flesh. 20 yards. The old man stopped once more, and then suddenly the lion, as if no longer interested, sat painfully down on its haunches, and then full length beside Furee. One great paw lay across the prone figure's chest. The lion casually looked away, away towards where Grant should be approaching. 15 yards, and the lion rose again and faced the little black man. Death was all around. Death was in the air, in the grass. Death, blown by the wind, caressed the lion, caressed the black hunter.
I, Skellum, will kill you now.
Grant? Where was Grant? And the frightened ganger? The lion had carried the farmer further than Grant realized. The hunter was following a spoor that led in a circle. The hunter had lost the lion, lost Skellum. Skellum made no plan. He rushed straight at the wounded beast, and the lion drew back, for it expected nothing like this. The little black man rushed to within 5 yards and through the first stair. The lion had not expected a direct attack. He had expected the small dark form to dart away at the sight of open jaws. Then the second stair. And now the old sacker flung himself upon the back of the yellow-maned lion. This was how all lions were killed in days long dead. What's a gun compared with good spears, whose lineage reaches 1,000,000 years back in time and beyond? Upon the beast's back, the native drew the long hunting knife. It went deep into the great shoulders. He turned the blade as he struck and felt the massive body heave and quiver. Death was already beginning. Yellow-maned struggled to shake and claw the life from its back. Yeah! Again the knife, and then the little tracker leapt sideways away from the lion. And Yellow Mane died. Too many bullets, too many knife thrusts, too much blood had soaked into the felt. Yellow Mane died, and Skellum stood and watched him die. He then began trembling violently.
Skellum! In heaven's name, what happened?
The hunter stopped short and saw the dead lion. Behind him, Eustace held back, mortally afraid lest there be another lion, or this blooded one should rise and strike him. Eustace should never leave the railway track. Grant clasped the violently trembling tracker to him.
I tried to kill this one, this lion, before he killed my boy, for he has already killed one white man this day.
He's mucked you up, too, by the look of it. Lie down, my old man. Eustace, make yourself useful and bring that blasted box over here. Come on, Skellum. Lie down.
Buona, see to the other man. I fear he has died, but who shall know? I am good, Buona. No thieving lion can kill me, Skellum.
Grant crouched beside Furi.
Furi, Fani.
No man with these wounds could live, but the young farmer was alive still. There was a slight flutter where a strong heart should beat.
Fani.
Furi opened his eyes just for a moment. He probably saw nothing, but knew that another human being was close and was glad. He tried to smile, but could not, for the lower half of his jaw was broken.
Gertie. Back to the Union. No good here. Give a hand. Alone. Cold. Shallows frightened me.
The farmer died as Grant took his hand. It was long past midday when they reached the hotel. Gertie Furie's grief made her all the more incredibly beautiful. Grant allowed himself one long, searching look at her, decided he was old enough to be her father, and that what he felt was great pity, and left to inform the police of the tragedy. Later, he told the young woman of her husband's last few words, and she thanked him and said she would return to South Africa. Skellum, with wounds bad enough to put him on his back for more than a month, assured his Bwana that this was no great pity, for at the farm there was only tractoring and other woman's work, and he, Skellum, would just rest and regain his strength for the next time the Lintomfu tracker would be needed to finish with spear and knife what white men's guns had begun. Lion fighters never grow old.
Join us again next week for another story of the African Bushveld. It might be fact, it might be fiction, in General Motors on Safari. Brought to you by General Motors South African, manufacturers of Cadillac, Buick, Oldsmobile, Pontiac, Chevrolet, Beaumont, Vauxhall, Opel, Holden, Bedford, and GMC Motor Vehicles.